1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. The promise of God in and through his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to all those who truly repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. So the promise is eternal life, and that points us to our eternal destiny. It points us to heaven. And our subject this evening is quite simply heaven. A while ago, I read in the Grace Gems website a very helpful biblical devotional on the subject of heaven. The article written by a man called W. Nicholson was very helpful in providing a glimpse into some of the realities about heaven, and it got really in my mind thinking upon this subject, and I felt it would be good to really devote one single message to this wonderful subject, this wonderful truth, heaven. Now, despite the fact that we are encouraged in the scripture to think about heaven, we tend not to do so enough. The question was asked this afternoon to the children, do we think about heaven? And there were not many hands that went up, if at all. Well, with all the distractions and duties and cares of this life, heaven seems a very distant place, doesn't it? However, if we are following the Lord and we are seeking to be heavenly minded, we would think more about heaven. And, you know, some people say that people are so heavenly minded, they are no earthly good. But actually, the opposite is the case. The more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we are. Because the more we think about heaven, and the more we think about the glory of heaven, that will affect the way we live, and the fruit of that will be much more helpful to the people that we have to do with. In addition, when we warn about the awfulness of hell, we do well to remember the amazing beauty of heaven. For hell, you know, is not only just about separation. That's awesome and awful. It's not only about punishment under the eternal wrath of God. That is awesome and awful. But it is also about having eternal regret of rejecting God and not going to such a beautiful place as heaven. Because one of the great terrors of hell will be the realization that Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. There is such a place as heaven. And because in time we've rejected God, then we've missed out on what such a beautiful place as heaven. What would have been would be the regret, if not for our unbelief that deprived us of glory and heavenly Canaan land, and to enter into this new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness at the end of time. And so in speaking about heaven, it may be that this evening, the folly of your unbelief and your rebellion against God that would keep you out of heaven will be seen. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Well, this is in the context of acknowledging the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ or rejecting him. Well, God, who cannot lie, has promised all those who repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ, who follow him as Lord and evidence this in their life, that they have been truly converted, will, according to his sovereign love and grace, enjoy and experience eternal life in heaven. So what about this beautiful place, heaven? We were reminded somewhat of it this afternoon at the Sunday school, and I want to speak now a little bit more in depth about this wonderful place, heaven. Well, heaven is a holy, happy, eternally enduring place. You know, this poor world is full of sorrow, isn't it, and sin and pain and death. It's a beautiful world in many ways. We look at beautiful views, beautiful scenery. Maybe you've been away on holiday or been somewhere locally and you've seen some beautiful scenery. It sometimes takes our breath away. There's a lot of beauty yet in this world, but it is a world which is under the curse of sin. And so when we watch the news, or we listen to the news, or we read the newspapers, and we learn all about what's going on in the world, in Asia, in the Middle East and such places, we read of such sorrow, such sin, such pain, disease and famine, the Ebola outbreak, and you know, there is a fear in the world of what's going on. Well, if we have hope, if you have hope in this life only, you really are in a very miserable state in a way. The Christian, by contrast, has an unfailing hope of a holier, happier, infinitely better world than this. This isn't their abiding city. We're looking to another city, a heavenly home. And this hope supports the Christian in every scene of earthly conflict and distress. There is a better place. This world is not our home. Now, I remember some years ago going on a ferry across the Channel on the way back from France to Dover. It was very, very choppy. And I remember standing on the deck there with many other people on the hanging on to the side of the ferry there. It seemed to be better to be outside than inside. And as we approached Dover, we were just saying, all we want to do is get into the harbour. Because we know that once we're in the harbour, there will be still, and all this rocking will stop, just to get into the harbour. And that's what it's like with the Christian hope. We know there's a harbour, we know there's heaven, we know there in heaven there is peace and quietness and security and safety. And the Christian understands that they're on the sea, they're tossing about, it's perhaps in a storm, but there's a haven. We're sailing towards a haven. And not one of the Lord's people will be lost. That is the hope of the Christian. Well, another thing you might think of, you might be on a long journey. And you might feel weary and tired. And you perhaps are even driving while you're too tired. But maybe you're a passenger. And you sit there and you think, all I want is to be back in my bed at home. That's all I want. I'm longing to lay down on my bed and put my head on the pillow and be at home, to be there. I'm longing just to be there, and I can just rest my weary body. Well, that's what it's like for the Christian. They're looking forward to that time, heaven, to reach home. Or you may read about soldiers that are involved in a battle. And you read of how much they're looking forward to coming home when the battle is over, when their course of duty is over, and they tick off the days, as it were, getting ready to come home when their duty is finished. Oh, so it is for the Christian pilgrim in the midst of their strenuous labours, trusting God that he will or she will brave all the storms of life in God's with God's help. They will finish their course, fighting the good fight of faith, and lay hold of eternal life, and arrive in the Father's house in heaven. Well, whereas natural hope is uncertain, You know, someone might say to you, well, they perhaps got to do a job on the home, and they may say to you, well, I hope to be there at such and such a time. If all goes well, I hope. Someone actually said to me that they would come and visit me recently to do some quotation, and something else cropped up, and this person forgot all about it, and then I called him, and he said, oh, I suddenly remember, oh, I hope to be with you tomorrow. So, well, it was good, the person came, but Christian hope's not like that. Christian hope is certain. God's promises will never fail. So here we have a certainty. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christian believers know for certain that they will enjoy eternal life in heaven as the residents of the ever-blessed God, will dwell in God's palace of splendor. Heard about a palace, isn't that wonderful? God's palace of splendor, the habitation of his holiness, the place where his honor dwells, the dwelling place of angels and the perfected spirits. It's the heaven, a wonderful, pure, holy place. Heaven is a place of inexpressible blessing. It's described in the Bible in various ways. It's described as the paradise of God. It's described as a building from God. It's described as a mansion of God. It's described as a heavenly city. It's described as a better country. It's described as a priceless inheritance. It's described as an eternal kingdom, an unfading crown of glory, peace and rest and joy of the Lord. There are many descriptions given for us in heaven, of heaven. Heaven, we read in the scripture, will be a life of complete purity. To dwell in heaven is to dwell in purity. Now that's almost incomprehensible for us in this earth because every one of us have sinned today. We've all sinned. Not one of us has stood up to the pure, holy standard of God today. We've all sinned in measure. But when we get to heaven, there will be no more sin. While sin in this world is the great source of separation and estrangement from God, sin is that which constantly vexes and distresses the soul. But in heaven, sin can never enter to defile anymore. We have read in Revelation 21:27, there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Sin will not be there. We shall be faultless and enjoy perfect communion with God, will be like God in holiness and purity. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to present all those that follow him faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only able to keep his people from falling and secure their eternal inheritance, but at the end of their life present them faultless before the throne of God's glory. Faultless. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? No sin can enter heaven, so if you're going to go to heaven, it can't be in your righteousness. It must be in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you are presented faultless, without one stain, without one sin, absolutely pure before the presence of God's glory. And there'll be exceeding joy. It will be a happy time, a precious time, a wonderful time. And we read as well that Christ will present his church, a glorious church. It'll be something glorious, wonderful to behold, not having any spot. We were shown this afternoon in Sunday school a picture with someone with spots all over their skin. But it says here in Ephesians that when Christ presents his church, it will not have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it will be holy and without blemish, absolutely pure. And you know, the wonderful truth is, as the psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? To be like our Saviour Jesus Christ in his righteousness, holy like him. And John tells us this. He says, we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But one thing we know, that when he shall appear, that's when Jesus Christ shall appear at the end of the world, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Oh, friends, this is a wonderful truth. Heaven, the church, pure in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Heaven will be a place of perfect happiness. Because of evil, there is no perfect happiness in this poor world. There is no sure stability in this world. Life here is like the fluctuation of the sea, of the weather. You know what it's been like today. You know, we had glorious sunshine. But then suddenly, quite heavy rain. And then sunshine again. Well, heaven won't be like that. There won't be fluctuations like the sea or in the weather. Heaven will be a place of perfect happiness, perfect security, sure stability. And all the causes of evil will be gone in heaven. Sin shall distress no more. Satan shall tempt no more. Sickness shall pain no more. The devil, the tyrant, will oppress no more. Death shall bereave and destroy no more. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, heaven also will be a life of the greatest honor. The greatest honor. Do you not know that there will be a pure dignity in heaven as children of God's kingdom? Now, here upon this earth, oh, people are trampled upon, people are oppressed, people are despised. People are rejected, people are laughed at, people are mocked, people are taken advantage of. Oh, there's so much oppression in this evil world in which we live. But heaven will be a place of pure dignity. No one will be despised in heaven. No one will be better than another in heaven. All will be honored as redeemed children of God's kingdom. It will be a life of honor which, as which a conqueror obtains. A crown of victory are waiting those that enter heaven. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. We will enter into the victory of our Lord, who replaced the crown of thorns with a crown of glory. God's people, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be more than conquerors through him that loved us. In Jesus Christ we'll be more than a conqueror. We'll have eternal happiness in glory and in heaven. And it will not be a corruptible crown. When I go abroad sometimes, they have this tradition of given the speaker at the conference, wherever it might be, a laurel they put around you of flowers and petals. Well, within about half an hour, they're in the heat, they're all dying off. They look very nice at the beginning, but they're fading away. They're fading away. They're corruptible. But in heaven, we have an incorruptible crown. We're living for that incorruptible crown. Millions and billions of people are living for a corruptible crown. living their lives dependent upon things which are fading away, which are passing away, which are deteriorating, which are depreciating, which are going wrong. But the Christian is living for an eternal crown, an incorruptible crown that will not rust or fade away. Heaven will be a life of the greatest honor. We will be given a crown of righteousness. The Apostle Paul said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not only me," he said, "it's not just about me, unto all those that love his appearing, that are looking for Jesus to come, ready for him, a crown of righteousness, purchased by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, given wholly for his sake to his redeemed people. It is a crown of life, meaning they will never die." Well, James said, "Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, eternal life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." Heaven then will be a life of the greatest honor with a crown. Heaven will be a life of rich enjoyment. In Scripture, heaven is represented figuratively as a feast. Many will come from the east and from the west and will take their places at this feast. Heaven is represented as a marriage supper. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Heaven is represented as a life of enjoyment in the best society, a pure society. The triune God is there with the angels. And the heaven that we speak of now, the heaven which is now, before the new heavens and the new earth, the heavens which is now, where God dwells, this is where the glorified saints are already, awaiting the new heaven and new earth. Those who have already come to the end of their life, they are in the very presence of God, in perfect peace and happiness, awaiting the day, the end of time, when all the church will be gathered together and come into the new heavens and the new earth and will be given our resurrected bodies. Well, heaven is represented as the place of perfect fulfillment. We will have unhindered communion with God. We will understand mysteries of creation, of providence and grace. And we will say, "The Lord has done all things well. It is good. It is good." But then heaven is not only the place of perfect fulfillment. Heaven is the home of God. Heaven is the home of God. Now here in our world, God reveals his wisdom, his love, his justice, his power, his goodness, his providential faithfulness. We have the wonder of the gospel of God. But in heaven, this is God's home, where the wonderful fullness of his being is perfectly expressed. Something of God we know of in this world through creation, through his word, in the person and work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, humanly speaking, home is where you get to know who a person really is. They say a person is what he is at home, and nothing more. Well, in perfect terms, heaven is the place where God's people enter into the perfection of God's presence, and they'll spend an eternity serving, worshiping, enjoying, and exploring the wonders of his being, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever in fellowship with God. While it is true that God has no place where he is out of limits, where God cannot see or is all-seeing knowledge, cannot reach or know about. Heaven is God's home. This truth is beautifully conveyed in Scripture on a number of occasions. The psalmist David described it beautifully when he prayed that he might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was his plea, that was his prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father, which is in heaven, the home of God. But then heaven is the place then where we will see Jesus as he is. Now, you'll remember the testimony of a man called Stephen. He was the first martyr and he was stoned to death. And as he was being so terribly persecuted, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture tells us that he looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I see Jesus as he is. He is in heaven for sure, for certain. And that is where I'm going. And he laid down his life willingly, even praying for those who were killing him, that the Lord would not lay that sin to their charge. When he had said this, we read, he fell asleep. Asleep in Jesus, that is a common expression that is used of Christians going home to heaven. At rest with Jesus. Well, heaven is the place where we will see Jesus as he is. The eternal place, the everlasting kingdom, the incorruptible kingdom, the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But then this evening, as we come to a conclusion, we read in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27 that there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Entrance into heaven is totally dependent upon God's grace, upon God's love, upon God's power, upon God's salvation. And he has provided for us the way. He has provided for us the door. He has provided for us the entrance into heaven. He has provided for us a way whereby we can flee from the wrath to come, the dreadful day of judgment that we spoke about last week. The Lamb's Book of Life speaks to us of the Lamb's Book of Salvation unto eternal life. Those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb's Book of Salvation, eternal life. Those who have trusted in him, those who believe in him, those who look to him and follow him. In it are registered all those who in God's goodness have repented of their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ, confirming that they were ordained unto eternal life in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name registered there? Now, I want you to think about this book this evening, and I want you to think about three headings in this book. And the first heading is repented. And the second heading is trusted. And the third heading is followed. That when you get to the end of your life, that your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it will have the word, I'm using picture language here, this person has repented of their sin. They've acknowledged that they are a sinner before a holy God and that they've offended a holy God and that they have no way to make themselves right with God. And they have put their trust, in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have faith in him and in him alone as their Savior, and they are following him as their Lord. three headings. This person has repented, this person has trusted, this person has followed. Follow the Lord. Now, is that true of you this evening? Have you repented of your sin? Have you put your trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you following him by faith? Are you looking to him, believing in him? Well, if it is so, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. The psalmist said, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory, to heaven." This wonderful, beautiful place, heaven. It's a wonderful subject, and we don't speak enough of it. But let us look to the Lord and trust in him by faith. Let us ask the Lord to truly give us a desire to be with him, which is far better. And may the Lord bless you in your souls and guide you unto glory in and through the person and work of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.